It's John and Lance.
I destroyed.
John's ripping Coors Light families apart.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Astros lose again. That man got killed. Three wild pitches. Lance McCullers afterwards said, my fingernail broke and I couldn't throw the curveball anymore. It's no excuse, but whatevs. It'll be out now for 2 or 3 months or something. I don't know. I just made that up. But it's going to be... If it's not Lambert or Arrighetti, what's the difference?
Well, Lance has got an ERA over 7. You can't win with that.
No.
Ryan Weiss is in minor leagues now. You've got Burroughs has not come
Jason
around.
How's Jason Alexander doing, Dell?
Jason Alexander looks
how's
like
your
a
hero?
He's been terrible.
I like
he's
up
multiple
the
runs every
of your
game.
Your team leads you to attack me. He's the one pitching for your team and sucks. So
there goes my hero.
Yeah, your hero, Dell. Nice job.
Doesn't matter to me.
Nice pick.
As long as he's starting, I have faith. But if you're just going to put him in the role he's not accustomed to, this is the results you get. But hey, he's out there pitching and your team blows. Okay. Now you get mad at me. Hey, Dell, I'm miserable because my team sucks. What about your hero? Either way, you're still, what, 8 games? What is it now? 8 games, 9 games under 500? Yelling at me ain't going to make you feel better. Your team stinks.
I just got to blame somebody.
Well, yeah, because if it wasn't Jason Alexander, someone else would have got outs.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, we found a Peter Lambert, okay? One of the great pitchers in the game, in the history of the game, Peter Lambert.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what we got. We found him. Nice job, Dana. Gotcha. We got us Peter Lambert. But then you got all the other guys. I mean, if you're in a role
Let's
that you're
slow down
custom,
on Lambert. Let's see how Lambert keeps pitching.
Well, he's been
good.
I mean,
he needs to be literally, this is just.
And, I mean, you should have, did you hear the broadcast? They were like, man, that 7 innings that Lambert gave you the other day, that really helped out the bullpen. It was great because nobody can go more than 2 innings anymore. No starter. Other than Arrighetti and Lambert.
It didn't help out the bullpen. It kept them off the field is what they should be saying.
Yeah.
Man, that really helped. It's not like it let the bullpen get rest. Like, they were able to keep certain pitchers off the field, which
well,
is important
too.
To give you any chance the pitchers can't pitch.
Yeah. No, that too. Yeah. You mean we had a good pitcher? You mean we had a good start? Okay.
I remember when our bullpen used to be money. Now it's like these guys are terrible. You're going to see terrible performances from this.
It's not Joe's fault, but Joe, I don't know how he makes it through this. And I don't know how Dana Brown makes it through this either. Just don't. They just can't. They just can't. Jim Crane, listen, this is, like I said, this is as bad as 2004. This is that bad as 2014. Mm-hmm. Before the turnaround, and this is not Astros. This is not the Astros baseball that we had. It's not the same. They got to do something drastic, and I think they're going to. I think he's going to. I told you who I think is the next GM, and I wish I could put money on it. Is there any?
I wish you could too.
Huh. I wish I could put money on it.
Because if we don't get him, we're holding you personally responsible.
Yeah. Well.
It's like Dream Shake bringing Durant into this team.
For those
He's
of you who don't know,
he's personally responsible.
I'm saying Jeff Leno is going to be the next general manager of the Houston Astros. That's my prediction. It is Hunter Brown, Carlos Correa, Jeremy Peña, Josh Hader, Christian Javier.
It's 12 people.
Ronel Blanco, Jake Myers, Yiner Diaz, Nate Pearson, Taylor Trammell, Joey Loperfido, Hayden Wesneski, Brandon Walter, all ILs. I mean, you can't blame Joe for this.
Nah, but I don't care. I mean, it hadn't been great under him anyway. Anyway you look at it, it collapsed last year. They got
last
beaten.
Year. He had all those injuries too.
Don't care. I don't need to hear all that. Bo Porter didn't have any players. Bo Porter had to go. Who would Bo Porter have? Those guys sucked. He had no good players, and Bo Porter got run out of town after 2 years.
Yeah.
Right. Bo Porter had nobody. Literally nobody on his team that started healthy. healthy players were worse in this group. And he had to go. That's just how it is. I mean, I'm sorry.
No, it's true. Steven Silas.
Yeah, Steven Silas had to go. But he wasn't the right guy for that. But this may not be the right guy either. I mean, even when they were healthy, they got run out of town in two starts against the Tigers at home.
Yep.
In the playoffs 2 years ago when they were healthy.
But you had Scooble.
I don't care.
You had Trouble.
I don't care. You had good pitchers too. And what's your excuse for the second game?
Yeah. No, that was bad.
It's not good enough. So he'll be gone. He'll be gone this year. It is going to be interesting how, as we move forward, if it continues to look like you have no chance, will they pivot on any of the players that are on this roster and start to dump? Because they did make a trade in the offseason with Kyle Tucker.
What's the last time they were sellers?
Yeah, the last time they were sellers was Kyle Tucker. And that wasn't in season. So I don't know, we haven't seen them in season be sellers, but when you are in season and you're a seller, a lot of times you can get some desperation bids. The longer you wait, the less team control you have on a player, the less you get back for a player. Drayton wouldn't do it. He couldn't pull the trigger. I don't think that Jim Crane has the wherewithal to pull the trigger on a player in season. We'll find out, because in season you still have you still have a little bit more team control. There's a little more value coming back in the trade when you have that. And we'll see if he considers that with any of the players he has right now. I mean, if you get rid of Yordan, you got a chance to get a massive package back in terms of prospects. But if you miss on your evaluations and you don't trust Dana Brown to make these deals,
do you?
Well, then you would look. I mean, based on what?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess
I don't know that I can.
Cam, I guess Cam is what you base it on.
You gotta let Jeff Bagwell do it.
Oh my God! How do you like the fact that people pinpoint the demise of the Astros is Jeff Bagwell taking over as GM?
I just
it does coincide.
I wanted to see your reaction. That's all. That's all.
Who do you think is going to be? You say it as a joke, but if you get rid of Dana Brown, if you were to get rid of Dana Brown and make a trade of let's say Yordan, for example, I don't think they would trade Yordan because he's too worried about getting. I guess Jim Crane thinks all these tickets are going to be sold because people want to come see Yordan, and he'll find out they'll just stop coming to your product, no matter who's on the team.
I think Jim Crane realizes that, that he needs better front office. I don't know. I don't think he doesn't believe in Jeff Bagwell or whatever, but he has to realize that what's going on the last few years here. The last 3 years.
Well, Jeff's not a GM. He can be in another role, but he can't be making GM moves. And Dana Brown,
he's been a consigliere for a long time.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I just know that their idea that we need humans in here and not analytics guys. Well, analytics guys are what built this.
Well, no,
and the whole league has moved in that direction.
You need a combination, is what he said.
Yeah. Well, but what they did was they got away from it completely. They went, Dusty was there. Dusty is not an analytics guy at all. They got rid of James Click, who built the bullpen. He couldn't get along with Dusty. He was also an analytics-based guy. Got rid of him. I mean, Jeff just went on feel for the contract for Abreu and the 3-year deal for Montero. There's no way. There's nobody who would deal with who would say, okay, based on performance of bullpen pitchers, which is a very flighty up-and-down thing. Bullpen pitchers are very transient because their careers go up and down, up and down, up and down, unless you're closers. And even closers, that happens with Brad Lidge. You saw that. That was even with a great closer, it goes up and down. It was never made sense to give a 3-year deal, especially for that amount of money. So, no, so you can't trust Jeff. Dana Brown, to me, is just dead man walking. He's just a lame duck general manager.
Okay, if Jeff Luhnow came, could he win right away?
No, I don't think so. He's got to get players.
He's got to get
this team doesn't have enough talent. He's got to get players. No. How does he do that? Draft and possibly trade off some of your top players for good young players.
Everybody's healthy. This team is better. much better than it is.
It's better. It's better, but even a healthy Christian Javier doesn't really make any difference.
No.
Like, so who healthy? You got Hunter Brown. Healthy Lance McCullers doesn't matter.
No.
I'm trying to figure out who all the healthy guys that matter. Yiner wasn't really mattering. Jake Myers doesn't matter.
I think you're finding that Eric Geddy, Lambert, and Brown.
You're really putting a lot on Lambert after last game.
Right. Well, I have to.
It's a lot of hope and change.
Right. You got to
go in there.
There's nothing else I can do. I mean, you just got, these are the cards that are dealt. Now, but Jeff Luneau is awesome at finding talent and then developing it as well. I think their development, that maybe is big a deal as.
But Jeff's going to have to relearn the minor league systems of every place. Jeff's been out of the game a long time. Like, if you want Jeff to make a trade, look, if Yordan was going to be traded, you get a massive exchange of talent back in return. You theoretically. Well, you would. Jeff Luneau would have to know all of the minor league systems. He'd have to be. And how much of this was Jeff Luneau? How much of it? You remember, he had a great staff behind him, including Mike Elias. Like, there's a lot of guys who are not there in the building anymore that helped Jeff out. So, I don't, you know, do we just put it all on Jeff, or was it his whole crew that he had that he doesn't have anymore?
Yeah. You know, but there's a lot.
Pretty much all those guys are gone, right? All the guys are gone.
Yep.
So I don't know what it looks like, what he's going to have to build. He'll have to rebuild the front office.
He'll have to do the whole thing over again.
Yeah, we're in for probably a reset more than a reload.
Probably.
And that's okay. I mean, it happens. Whatever. You'd like to reload, but it's not always easy, especially if you just dump your best players and you get nothing in exchange for them except a draft pick, which, you know, they're not great at doing anything with draft picks right now currently. So it's hard to win when you say, okay, this great player. Now, if you traded him off, like, then you turn into the old school Royals or A's back in the day. You know, if you trade off, and maybe the Pirates will have this to do this with Skeens. If you trade those guys before they go away, man, you reload. You keep reloading. The problem is you never have a 2022 because guys probably would have been gone before then. Although the timing was such that you had lost Correa, you had lost Springer, you still won a championship because Jeremy Peña was money as a rookie.
Yep.
But you can't just keep losing Bregman. You can't, you know, Verlander, Bregman.
Cole.
Cole was gone after 19. But, yeah, you know what I mean.
Yep.
He wasn't there for 22. So, I don't know. Even with – this is not just going to be some magic bullet that if Jeff Luneau gets rehired, as you suggest – I don't know that really matters unless he can get his front office way he likes it, and they can really – I mean, they got to start kicking ass on drafting. And then that takes time to develop those guys. It's still You're still looking at 2 to 3 years with those guys.
Yep. All right, we got a break. We got to talk a little GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com is where you sell your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com has been around for a long time. John Clay Wolf has built one of the biggest and best car buyers and in all of history, well, in the United States of America, GiveMeTheVIN.com is a huge, huge, huge player. GiveMeTheVIN.com is where you have to go, okay? How about GMTVCC? GiveMeTheVIN.com. Give me the VIN of classic cars. GMTVCC. If you got a classic car, put it on there and see what John Clay Wolf gives you. He's going to give you more because he loves them and he keeps them. The other ones, GiveMeTheVIN.com, all of them he sells at auction, right? He cleans them up, sells them at auction, and he loses some, wins some, he makes, you know, a little bit, but he pays you more because he wants those cars. He's going to get it because he's going to pay more. That's what he does. And he has been doing that, and there's a reason that he's hugely successful is because he'll pay you more and take less when he sells them at auction than the other guys will. The other guys have to turn a big profit. He's like, nope, watch me do this pennies on the dollar. And it has turned into a huge, huge, huge business. GiveMeTheVIN.com. So when you are going to sell your car, there's one place that you have to go. GiveMeTheVIN.com.
John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 703-780-3776. We've got some different opinions here. Why in the blue hell would you want to bring back a guy who literally got rid of the scouting department right before he left? He ran off everyone who mattered to building the golden era. Keep him away from this place. That's Jeff Leno, I guess.
No, Jeff did. They did. Under Jeff Leno's watch, they got rid of a lot of scouts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those were presumably old, but they were still the scouts.
He put together the best team in baseball over a decade.
Well, and they got rid of Reed Ryan, although I don't know that that was on Jeff Leno.
That wasn't Jeff. Jeff Leno was long gone.
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't, because we were at prime when that happened. We weren't at prime until...
Wait.
Did we ever go back to prime?
Reed was well after Jeff Luneau was
gone. Oh, no. He... Yeah, had to be.
Yeah. That had nothing to do with Luneau. Espada was the guy the players wanted, his manager as well. Let's not forget. If he can't get his guys over 3 years to play better for him when they are struggling, then he's not the leader you need. Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
So Reed Ryan was let go by the Astros or demoted, whatever you want. Shifted to a lesser role November 7th, 2019.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Luneau was fired January 13th, 2020.
So was before.
That's
it happened longer than you think, John.
And then he was
because I remember hearing about it. We heard about it while we were at Prime doing one of those Prime. And then Prime closed down right around COVID when they had that fake money laundering thing that ended up putting somebody in jail from the prosecutor's side since he was lying.
Jim Crane promoted his son, Jared.
Yeah.
And Reed Ryan took on a lesser role.
That's crazy.
That's that long ago, huh?
Yeah. It was before Jeff was even gone.
Wow.
Not that Jeff had anything to do with it.
No. No, he didn't.
I mean, is that an owner putting his son in somewhere? Jeff got rid of a lot of people, too. Look, whatever. I just know Jeff built a monster. That's all I know.
Yeah.
And part of the monster was here before Jeff was even here, Hall of Famer Jose Altuve.
Jeff.
And Jeff did not draft. Did Jeff draft George Springer?
No.
So he didn't do everything. We give him credit
for a
lot.
No, he didn't do everything, but he did quite a bit. He also made mistakes. Appel.
He made mistakes. Yeah. Correa was his pick.
Yep,
and then Lance McCullers, they saved money on Carlos. They went with Carlos, which surprised people. And with the money they saved, they were able to get Lance McCullers, I think, a little over on the higher end of the slotting for Lance McCullers in the second.
I just couldn't get him a pedicure.
But Lance helped you win a championship, too.
Yeah. I think Yordan needs to be traded. What's the haul for the best slugger in baseball?
Just since this is my role, apparently, Jeff Luneau was hired by the Astros as their GM in 2011. George Springer drafted 2014.
Uh-oh.
Hold on. No, he played. Sorry. He played. No, he started his career drafted in 2011, season. The same year that Jeff Luneau was hired.
But I think he was hired after the draft.
Luneau is likely, now that I look at it, December 8th. That's when the official hiring and the draft, as we found out, at least I found us in July. Yeah, so
he was.
So Ed Wade gets George Springer.
Yeah, it was. I always knew it was not. He didn't get. He didn't have him, but he did come the same year that he came up. Yeah, they were waiting on. They waited for a while. That's what they did. 3 year wait on George Springer, and it was drive Charlie Polillo crazy that George was not with the team. Just drive him crazy, because the Astros didn't want to start the clock on him. I mean, why would you want to start the clock on a guy when your team's a 100-loss team? Totally understandable.
They didn't want to subject.
They did the smart thing.
George to Bo Porter, apparently.
That's part of it, but they just didn't want to get that clock started on his career.
Yeah.
Because why are you wasting two or three of his years? You think about it. He played in 14. I think that's when his clock started. Played part of 14. But then 15, they were already in the playoffs. 16, they weren't. 17, championship. Fourth year club control. So the Astros were smart. The Astros did things like, we're not going to have a closer. For what? Why are we going to pay extra for a closer or for an above-average free agent when we're going to lose 100 games? That's smart. No reason to.
Is that why Jim Crane said, beat it, Dubon? Why am I paying you $6 million when we're going to be bad or not that good?
If, so it does make sense if his idea is we're in in not reload. What did I call it?
Rebuild.
Rebuild. If we're in rebuild mode, okay, that makes sense. But they're not operating like they're in rebuild mode.
No, that's not why. They saved some pennies to get rid of DuPont.
About $5 million. What is that Nick Allen making?
Nick, he's probably $1.5 million.
You say about $5 million to not pay a third string utility infielder.
Third string, he's a regular starter.
He'd be your third string shortstop or a utility infielder.
He'd be your starting center fielder or left fielder.
When we take into account injuries,
he's a Gold Glover.
I'm not questioning Dubon's ability, but when we talk about
he's not a third stringer,
As an infielder, where is he playing if they're all healthy?
He was coming off of a below-average year last year, to be fair. He did not.
And
he did
also
not
a Gold Glove.
I get it, but he did not exactly, like, they may not have wanted to pay $6.5 million for, well, it wouldn't have been $6.5 million, but they may not have wanted to go into the last year of arbitration for, you know, for a guy considered just a Swiss Army knife who can defend.
Yeah, but you did
it
pick
was
up
money.
Nick. You did pick up Nick Allen.
There's no way around it.
It was about money. He didn't want to pay him.
Jim Crane is. This is why people are not going to be happy. People are never happy when all your moves are just surrounded by money, when they're just financial decisions. And you can say it's a smart financial decision. I say it all the time. Jim actually is making. These are actually very reasonable, smart business decisions. But I'm sorry, business and fandom, they do not match. Mm-hmm. They do not match. Fans want you to win, and they don't care about your money. They don't care. They expect you to spend it.
I do.
They expect you to spend it. Well, fans don't. They expect you to spend it, and they expect you to, and they say, you've already made your money with concession prices that have gone up, parking, tickets, all the tickets have gone up every single year. We expect you to spend money now. And when you never, ever keep your top guys when they hit the market, it's gonna draw some scrutiny, which it is right now. I just put in AI, what would you get if you traded Yordan this year before the trade deadline? And it said, it doesn't give players, it says, assuming the Astros fall out of contention, it would yield a historic franchise reset haul, likely consisting of 3 to 4 top-tier prospects and young Major League Baseball-ready talent, primarily focused on pitching.
Okay.
I mean, that's about what I would expect.
Yeah. Yeah.
The potential trade could net, the rebuild package could net, and the teams they focus on are Mets, Pirates, and Red Sox. A top 25 overall prospect, a young, controllable starting pitcher. Hypothetically, Mets package.
Why would the Mets do that?
A young, controllable starting pitcher, because they're always looking to. They're always looking to get the Cubs next
or the Braves.
Why would the Mets not do it? They want to be contenders in New York all the time.
Well, they're not though.
It said Nolan. That's the point. Is for the future. Hmm. You have a slugger. So it has Nolan McLean as the pitcher that would potentially be centered on a mid-level prospect, a high upside outfielder or power hitter, i.e. Ryan Clifford type, and draft capital additional prospect, a low-level, high-risk prospect to finalize the deal. Or scenario B is a Red Sox trade scenario where you would get Jaron Duran.
Suck too.
Jaron Duran, plus top pitching prospects like Peyton Toll, Kyson Witherspoon, and a top five prospect in Franklin Arias. And then the Yankees trade scenario, a package built around top infielder like Anthony Volpe.
Oh, my God.
No.
Anthony Volpe's been sent
down. This is why this is old. Yeah. Why the return would be high, blah, blah, blah. No, he would.
Apparently, the Astros are sniffing around about Anthony Volpe. But not for Yordan.
I saw that with that girl's account. She does. I wanted to make sure it's a real account. And I saw that report, and she does do stuff for MLB Network, so I could see it. I could see them looking at Volpe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I would give up a whole lot right now. They're not exactly in a position of great strength. But I am curious about what the Astros do moving forward, because right now what you're doing is you're crashing. And we've seen this play out before. The 2010 Astros in that neighborhood, it was just a steady decline. And that's when Altuve was on the end. He had just come in and was coming up. This is now with Altuve headed out, and they're crashing right now. I mean, a lot of your pitching prospects are. There's a chance Javier is never a good pitcher again, and it's unfortunate because he was so good previously. But there's a chance he's never a good pitcher again. I mean, so then you're just saying, well, we hope Eric Geddes stays good. And we hope Hunter Brown, you know, how long is Hunter Brown going to be here? 2 more years?
Yeah.
Then what? You're not going to trade him either?
Well, speaking of Hunter Brown, what about Billy Brown? How long is he going to be here?
I mean, I'm assuming longer than Hunter.
I would think.
Yeah.
Billy Brown is going to be around.
He's been here longer than him already.
Who does a better job? Billy Brown or Hunter Brown?
Billy
Brown.
Billy does pretty good, yeah.
Billy's doing a better job right now since Hunter Brown is nowhere to be found. Right. Can't see him. You can see Billy, okay? You don't want to see Billy. I mean, if you're calling a plumber, chances are you got some problems, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, but Billy, he's like the wolf. He's like the plumbing wolf.
Yeah.
He'll come and he'll fix that problem. He's going to make it all right. You don't want Brown not going down. You want Brown to go down, right? And Billy Brown makes the Brown go down.
He fixes everything. He fixes, well, anything that's leaking. Anything has to do with water. He's the fixer. His people, his guys are, not Billy. His guys are. He's got highly talented crews, multiple crews. They get out there quickly. Diagnose it, and they do it for a very reasonable price. They don't even charge you any money to come out and tell you what's going on with your issues. So make sure that you give them a call. If you don't have any issues right now, just put this number on your phone, 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. That, my friends, is Aqueduct Plumbing Company.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. We haven't talked about any basketball last night. The Knicks won, and San Antonio just kicked the snot out of Minnesota. So they were back to being, and San Antonio looked good again as opposed to game one when Wemby couldn't hit a shot. Wemby's good, and they're going to win. Wemby's not that good, they might not win. Although they were winning games when Wemby was out, too. So, I mean, it's a good basketball team, really good basketball team. Series tied at 1 now. Knicks go up 2-0. It was a lot tougher. Knicks have been dominating people. And then the last night was a pretty good game.
That's the last time you saw a point
guard.
That
was without. How about Joel Embiid is down again? I mean, it's unbelievable. The guys that get hurt are just hurt.
Mm-hmm.
They're always hurt. McCullers lost a fingernail. Carlos, while he's in the batting cage,
make your players stay injured.
Broke a tendon in his ankle. How do you do that?
This is why in the draft, we always, general managers will tell you, if a guy has an injury history in college, he's going to stay injured. That's just how it is. That was the scary thing about Stingley, honestly, is he had an injury background, and in the very first year he was out for the year, like, oh my gosh, this is 3 straight years Stingley has ended the season on the, you know, being out for the year. Luckily, it's turned around for Stingley, but you always worry about guys who are constantly hurt. And Embiid has a long history of that stuff. It'll probably end his career prematurely.
I mean, it looks like he plays a game, then he's got to sit for three.
But from a basketball standpoint, the Knicks, they hung in. The Sixers hung in, but the Knicks are just too much. I don't remember. It is so different watching a smaller lead guard like Jalen Brunson. When I say smaller, I'm not talking about like, you know, James Harden at 6'5". I'm talking about a guy who's legitimately a squattier, smaller player who's not overly explosive. He's just kind of clever in terms of how he gets his shot. Like the Jalen Brunson, that's such a phenomenon to me that a player can be the best player on his team at that size and be a high scorer without being a super explosive player. He's just a really highly skilled player. His dad was an NBA player. He started working with his son at a very, very young age. And he plays with good skill and great IQ and just knows how to make the most.
Can you be the best team in the NBA with Jalen Brunson?
I don't think so. Not personally.
No. We'll see.
That's why it's so unusual to see a player this at this size. No, but you can still be. Well, you still can. Yeah, no, you can if the rest of the build out is what it needs to be.
Right.
I don't think they can beat anyone in the West. I mean, I don't think they can beat San Antonio or Oklahoma City. I should say that.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, they Did might you, be able to beat other teams, but they can't beat those two teams.
I don't know who it was, but they put the PFOAT. PFOAT on James Harden.
PFOAT. Primary.
No. Playoff failure of all time.
Ooh. PFOAT.
The PFOAT.
The PFOAT, yeah.
The PFOAT.
The PFOAT.
Or the P is silent and it's just the FOAT. They put that on.
Playoff failure of all time. Who is they?
I forget who it was. I saw the. But they were like.
Man, and, he is and, up know, there.
I don't know that that's inaccurate.
No, he's up there.
I mean, his disappearance in the biggest games.
Yeah. No, James is up there. Whether you like it, there's a lot of James fans, and they get mad at that stuff, but it's true.
It's. I mean, he's gotten. Oh, go look at his playoff. Go look at his elimination games.
Go look at. Yeah, I mean, do they play the same way they play in a regular season, or do they even elevate? And the answer with James is no, he doesn't.
No. He's won playoff series, got him so far, but when it comes time, nut cutting time, he just disappears.
What about the game the Spurs had? Man, they got up at half and then they just smashed. They scored 74 in the second half. They went on a run from the second quarter, midway through the second quarter. They had 34 points. With 7 minutes to go in the second quarter, they had 34 points with 7 minutes to go. And from that point forward, they scored, 25. They scored 100. They scored 100 in the next 31 minutes. They scored more than 3 points a minute. That's incredible, the amount of offense that they put up there. This is a team at 62-20. I mean, this is a 62-win season, 62-win team for the Spurs. I was thinking about this. I do believe next year it's a lock that Wembanyama, minus injury. Well, let's go through the whole Wembanyama thing. Wembanyama is going to be an MVP next year. He'll be the MVP. Everything's building toward that. He's getting better. The momentum is there. The public, the media, everything about Wembanyama, he is headed for. He is headed for an MVP next year because the Spurs should be really good as well. Let me ask you this. Historically, players of his size, Rick Smits, Ralph Sampson, Yao Ming, they typically have either foot or knee issues historically. How long do you expect? Now, he's still very young. He didn't play 4 years in college like Ralph did. You know what I mean?
Ralph was thinner like he is, but Yao was just so heavy.
Had a big, heavy frame on high arches, which was a problem for him. But how long does Victor Wembanyama? You already saw, like the other day, the bones are not, like, he's not a real muscular guy. So if somebody crashes into that leg, you're just straight into bone. Can he stay healthy, you think?
Yeah, I don't know.
Those guys have a hard time staying healthy. Now, Kevin Durant did. I mean, Kevin Garnett didn't. Now, he wasn't 7'5".
No. No, no, no. I don't know.
He was 7'1".
I don't want to put that on him.
I'm not putting him on him. I'm saying historically those players have these issues.
Yeah.
And I think that's worth watching. If it doesn't happen... I think he's headed for multiple MVPs. And now, you know, it is curious, though. You look at his stats. Now, this is only year three. He's shooting 35% from three, which is really good for his size. He shoots 59% from two, which is really good. His free throw percentage is 82.7. That's really good. 11.5 rebounds a game, 3.1 blocks, 25 points a game. That's really, really good. I just think it's interesting. Now, he's doing this in year three, so I have to say that. And he is right now currently 22. So it's important to say that because when you look at Jokic, Jokic averaged 18.5 points a game, 10.7 rebounds, 6.1 assists. Obviously not much on the block front. His two-point field goal percentage was lower. His three-point percentage was higher. And his free throw was higher at the same age. And we know as Jokic went on, Like, Jokic has been a three-time MVP. He's finished second two times. Jokic is going to go down as one of the most underappreciated greats of all time, because what's going to happen now is he's going to have LeBron James is going to be remembered before him, obviously. He played, you know, played several years before Jokic, but he will be this era. He still carries over in the era of millennials. Right after him, relatively shortly right after him in the grand scheme of things, is going to come Wembanyama, who's going to be a generational all-time talent. LeBron, all-time talent. Jordan, all-time talent. Wembanyama, I think those three are going to be in a different level. And you're going to have Jokic. And I'll just remind you on Jokic. Jokic's career two-point percentage is 61.3%. Career. That is monstrous. From a three-point standpoint, he was 38% from three this year, 41% last year. Free throw percentage, his career is 82.5. He has hit nine assists or more for four consecutive seasons. His career average is 7.5. His career rebound average is 11.1. It's done nothing but go up. There's no reason to believe that Jokic is not going to keep putting up monster numbers. He's 30 years old. Jokic is just 30. I don't think there's any reason we can't expect the same kind of numbers for four more years. So I wonder where he's going to fall in the all-time list of greats, because he does things we haven't seen before. He stays, relatively healthy compared to NBA players. He did have 65 games this year, 70 the year before. So, that kind of is what it is. His career minutes are only 32 minutes a game. I'm giving you all that output, and that's at 32 minutes a game for his career. Which is incredible. He's going to go down as one of the most impactful players in the history of the game, and yet I don't think he's going to be remembered the same way, because you've got Wembanyama coming in, who's about to dominate MVPs, because LeBron's going to go out of the league. SGA, people can't wait to get rid of SGA. I know I've gotten really sick of him. And I'll admit, a lot of it is the highlight reels of him flopping. I just can't do that. I appreciate the talent, but it's gotten so out of control with him that it's really a huge turnoff with SGA. And Wembanyama, even guys like, we'll remember, you know, Charles Barkley was, we had some of the all-time greats playing against, you know, Dream was an all-time great, but then they played with Jordan. And so they're remembered really high up there, but Jordan overshadows everybody. LeBron's going to overshadow everybody, and Victor Wembanyama's going to overshadow everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The same way Tiger Woods overshadowed a lot of great golfers during his time as well.
Yeah, Phil got overshadowed.
Yeah, Phil got overshadowed. Phil was an all-time great.
Yep.
So I wonder where Jokic and Giannis, those two guys, end up, because you look at their stats and you look at their impact, it's like, holy crap. But Wimby is about to, Wimby's about to go off. He's already doing this at age 22.
Hmm. Hey, speaking of Phil and speaking of golf, the Insperity in town right now. And Saturday is going to be huge. Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Lee Trevino, Annika Sorenstam, Nancy Lopez, Hale Irwin, Lara Davies, Sir Nick Faldo, all going to be there for the Folds of Honor Greats of Golf, back for a 13th year. And that's going to be on Saturday. But you got, you know, starting tomorrow, you got Stuart Sink, who won last week, is the defending champ, is it back again? And he's going to be there. He's red hot. Put your money on Stuart Sink, and then watch when he takes his hat off, because that's awesome when he takes his hat off. That is. But you got all kinds of greats going to be here. Colin Montgomery, Ernie Els, Retief Goosen, Padraig Harrington, Bernard Longer, Vijay Singh, 78 stars of the PGA Tour champions back. And they're at it at the Woodlands Tournament Course. And you got to get your tickets now at InsperityInvitational.com. We're red, white, and blue on Saturday. You can wear it every day. But make sure that you wear it on Saturday for the Folds Who Honor Greats of Golf. Get on out there to the Woodlands Tournament Course, the Insperity Invitational. InsperityInvitational.com, InsperityInvitational.com.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm looking at a a Facebook post by a California parent. The public school grading scale, 84 to 100% is an A. 64 to 84% is a B. 44% to 64% is a C. When did 84% become an A?
This is a real grading scale.
This is the grading scale in public school.
Where
64% a B?
I don't think it's not at my kid's school.
It's not. This is California.
Oh yeah, not here. Yeah, California also. Their third grade assessments are some of the worst in the nation. Do you know Mississippi and Alabama are really high because they put a bunch of work into it? It tails off as they get older. Their third grade level testing is really high. Like Alabama's in the top eight, or Mississippi's in the top eight. Alabama's in the top 10. California's in the 40s. They're at a super low. It's a very low mark for California. So maybe y'all have to just lower it down. Just try to catch W's. Just try to catch some C's.
That's all? I mean,
you know what? You just changed the
64% of B.
Yeah, well, if that's where the grades are, it's called a curve, John. You're grading on a curve. It's a bell curve.
Wow.
If that's what we have to make the new B. The new C is 45%.
44% C.
It drives me crazy to hear my kids say, "I just get to retake this test." You do?
Yeah.
You get to we just drop a test. You what?
What?
You drop a test? You yeah, I got a zero now, but I'll just redo that. And now the highest I can get is a 70. So you don't get a zero for not turning your stuff in. No, as long as we get it in by the end of the 6 weeks. What? Zeros used to be zeros. Tests used to be tests. Like, man, they make this. Y'all are cruising. No wonder y'all don't have to work hard. No wonder y'all just cruise through. Yeah, I got a B. How could you not? It's almost impossible not to get a B. And they're at a good school. But I don't know. You know, such thing as zeros. Tests get retaken. I mean, damn, y'all got it easy. When I used to catch a zero, that zero was for life. Larry Zierlein found out about that zero. Not great. Wow. I didn't get it just take it at the end of the 6 weeks. Let me get my phone out here and spend some time playing games on my phone, scrolling videos. And then later at the end of the 6 weeks, I'll redo my test. Y'all got it super easy.
Hey, did you guys see Instagram went through a bot purge today?
Mm-mm.
Apparently, Taylor Swift lost 5 million followers. Ariana Grande, 7 million. Kylie Jenner, 15 million followers gone. There were bots.
Wow, let me check mine. I'll bet you mine are
how many bots
same.
Did you? Insta.
Probably not a lot. Probably not a lot of
bots are following you and Ariana Grande.
Nope. I still have basically have the same exact number of followers.
What
the
bot
bots was, did not
Del, how many
me.
Did you lose?
I don't know what this is. I haven't checked my followers in years.
I still got 5,686. I think it's
I
the
have
same.
No idea. I've only
and been. A lot of those come because the NFL tags me on mock drafts and stuff like that. And then people come to tell me what a dumbass I am and a clown. I'm like, hey, I've got feelings. Although I do have my video of Sebastian. He just rolled through somebody in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu the other day. He told me, I'm going to smash this kid. I said, are you sure? He goes, yeah. I'm going to run him into the fence. Because they did it in an octagon, but it's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He goes, I'm going to run him into the fence, get him on the ground, put him in a darce. He did that within 45 seconds. Darce choked this kid. He had no chance. Because all Sebastian does now is lift and try to choke people his whole life. Not school so much, but...
No.
I mean, he's decided. It's his senior year.
Hey.
He's really like, every day I get a new... Sebastian has been marked absent for first period. Like, oh, I see he just didn't go to school this first semester. And he just decides first period is like, yeah, I'll get there when I get there.
I'd love that.
Don't worry
that's
about it.
That's what I did.
Don't worry
that's
about it. I'll be fine.
That's the way I went about it. So I'm not going to criticize the kid.
No, you can't. You can't criticize him. I can.
Oh. Yeah.
Since that's my money on the line in college.
I bet you went to classes.
Did you get a scholarship for college?
No.
Football?
No. They I got a lot of money because we didn't have any money. I got a lot of
Well, you got grants. Money. Well, is that considered a private school?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, Sebastian can't get any money. That's going to be my money on the line. And I told my kids, like I told Mason, anybody puts my money, sets it in a pile, and lights it on fire will never get money from me again. So I'm just letting you know. I'm just letting you know. I've had to work two jobs to get this. You guys F around with my money, cut off.
That's it.
You don't get to make up zeros in my grade book. You don't get to retake tests. These tests count.
These tests count. You burning my money
can
count.
This can go to my retirement.
Yeah.
So these tests count. I'm just going to let y'all know. There are no retakes and zeros count in my book.
Yep. All right. We got a break. Top of the hour here on ESPN 97.5. If you want to get in, come on. 713-780-3776. Whatever you want to talk about. We got 1 hour left. It's basically a holiday.
It's not a holiday show.
ESPN.